God. And it's a mistake we often make. We work hard to change other people without changing ourselves. If you want your relationship with somebody to change, what do? Change yourself. If you change yourself, the relationship between you and that person will never be the same again. If you've been doing this way before and you are getting this result, all that you need to do is change the way you respond, or the way you address, or the way you do things. And it's a matter of time. If you are consistent, you'll find out that the dynamics between the two of you will change. So when the word of God comes like this, it is us who needs to change. It's us who needs to change. And we often see that commonly, we see it among husbands and wives. I can't remember who I was talking to not too long ago, who was telling me that, they've been married for so number of years, and they are still working on their communication. And I said, thank God for your life. We've been married 18 years and we are still working on our communication. And I know some people have been married for 40 years and they are still working on their communication. I know some people 50 years, they are still working on their communication. Praise the Lord. So we have to work on our relationship with God. And the currency is holiness. The Lord will enable us in Jesus' name. Of course, our attitude to the word is very important. We have here that we need to study the word of God. What did we say? Study the word of God. Did we say read the word of God? No. It is study. Who can tell me the difference between studying and reading? Who will tell me the difference? Praise God. Okay. So studying involves reading and meditating. Yes. What else? Who else will make a difference or tell us the difference between studying and reading? Yes. Okay. Yes. Assimilation. Yes. Okay. You just read. You read the text. Yes. Any other? Application, yes. So we've added another thing, application of that thing. That's part of studying, yes. And problem solving, praise God. Yes, anything else? Okay, so you get understanding of that thing. So we talk about meditation. There are words that have come up. Meditating, understanding, assimilation, application, problem solving. Praise God. What else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, so. Praise God. Praise God. I'm looking for that. In fact, have you ever taken time to study one verse in the Bible before? And you find out that, honestly, I've stayed in that office before and studied one verse of the Bible for almost a day. Ask my wife. Because I get excited and I share it with her. When you take it and you look at the words, each word that is used, and you go and in fact look for the root word and look at how that word came about, when God first spoke that word and what he meant and the distinction between that word and another word that is similar to it, by the time you finish, you are full bottle. That is studying. So you just know it. You just know it. You've assimilated it. You have read around it, which is what we do in our professional lives. That's what we do. But when it comes to the things of God, do we do the same? And I'm telling you, some of the verses that we take here and we look at, if we choose to study them, you can just see the richness of the Word of God. You will see the richness of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I want to believe that we are going to study the Word of God this year in Jesus' name. And as we study it and we have an understanding and a revelation of this Word, I've told us the way you will know you've got a revelation of the Word of God is what? How do you know? When you've got a revelation of the Word of God. Eh? Exactly. You can never get a revelation of the Word of God and be the same again. You will pursue it with your life. If everyone else is saying this, I've told you the story of Pastor Yedepo when he was driving Volkswagen and was preaching prosperity. And people will come to him. People who felt they were his friend, they'll come to him and say, people are talking about you. They say you are driving Vokes and you are preaching prosperity. But he kept preaching. You can't just stop. Pastor Adeboye also said it. When he was preaching holiness, 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 they came to him and told him, say, you better change your preaching. Other people are preaching prosperity. You are preaching holiness. Who will come to your church? Praise the Lord. But when you catch a revelation, it's an incurable thing in you. Other people can't see what you see. Can you understand why there's going to be a difference? Because they cannot see what you see. Honestly, sometimes I'm at pains to explain myself to people. You can't understand. You think it's foolishness. I was sharing something with my wife. We are talking about childhood. And I told her how far I have come. I told her the kind of child I was. That's why I, you know, when these kids behave, I laugh. When she starts to get afraid and get, don't leave them. I've been worse. You know where I've been to? How God has brought me to where I am? You cannot imagine it. And what has made the difference? Because I caught a revelation of the Word of God for my life that things have to change, because he told me that I have to stay on the path of truth. And once he spoke, twice have I heard. He said, I've called you to tell the truth. And that is why I'll keep saying it. You will catch a revelation of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Allow the Word of God to wash you, praise the Lord, break you, refine you, purge you, chastise you, and prune you. This is where the crux of the matter. Until we allow the Word of God to do all that, let it break you, who you are. Forget about yourself. One of my children, I keep telling her, I say, forget about yourself. Just try and forget about yourself. When you forget about yourself, let me tell you something, all things are possible. Forget about yourself. When you forget about yourself, you forget about your limitations. You forget about your abilities. You forget about, you see, and you just go headlong. When God says you can, then you can. That is holiness. Let the Word of God do what? Break you. If you've been angry before, you hear the Word of God, let it break you. If you have been worldly before, let the Word of God break you. Look, only the people that God has broken and molded himself, he can use, because he is the potter. And you are what? You are the clay. If he has not broken you until we are broken, honestly, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It may sound repetitive, but honestly, I can see it. It's almost visible to me what I mean. You know, people who smoke marijuana, they say the reason they smoke cannabis is because when they play music, they don't just hear music. That it's like music develop a life of its own and it keeps coming towards them. That is when you get the revelation of the word of God. You can almost hold it.
Praise the Lord.
Let the word of God, I like it, you know. You say, allow the word of God to wash you, break you, refine you, purge you, chastise you, and prune you. It's so powerful. Praise the Lord. He will do all this in your life in Jesus' name. You'll be asking why. Because the Bible says the word of God is what? Is a hammer. Huh? It's a hammer. The word of God is also fire. Is the reviver fire? The refiner's fire. It will refine you. Okay. Our obedience to God's word is a mere glimpse of what holiness will be like in the presence of God for all eternity. Obedience to God's word is the beginning of holiness. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14 to 16. 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16. Obedience is holiness. Until we try to do it. You know, I like talking about 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. It said, children, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is what? Is righteous. Only those who do righteousness are righteous. Only. If you know righteousness and you don't do it, you are not. 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16. Can somebody read? Let's be quick. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As what? Obedient children. The one who is not obedient will not. You cannot, without obedience to the word of God, say you are holy. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. Praise the Lord. So the word washes like water. It washes. Nothing else washes as water would do. Nothing else. The word of God will wash you today in Jesus' name. Jeremiah 23:29. So the word of God is like what? Fire. Yes. Is it not like a hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? In other words, it breaks you. You see, you are no longer recognizable from who you used to be. That's the word of God. It just changes you. It turns your life around. He will turn your life around for good this year in Jesus' name. Be consistent in prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting helps us to keep our body under and sober. Therefore, we are less likely to yield to the demands of the flesh, to defile ourselves with filthiness and sin. You realize that while you are busy fasting, while you are fasting, it's not likely that you want to engage in certain things. You will just not want to, because you are conscious of, you know. And once you can hold your body under, then you can hold many things under. God will give us that courage this year in Jesus' name. If and when we live a life of prayer and fasting, we commune with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16-18. Galatians 5:16-18. So prayer and fasting this year. Propose in your heart that this year maybe you fast once a week. I think I look healthy, don't I? Praise the Lord. And by the grace of God, for some time now, except very occasionally, for many years now, I will fast Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday Friday, Saturday, part of Sunday, and I've done that for at least more than 5 years now. Praise the Lord. So you are not going to die. You are only going to be even healthier. You are going to be healthier. Praise the Lord. Can somebody read for us?
So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Mm-hmm. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature wants. Though these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out.
Praise the Lord. What you feed is what grows. Praise the Lord. Did somebody hear that? What you feed is what grows. Did we hear that? If you feed the flesh will do what? Will grow. If you feed the spirit, what's going to happen? The spirit will grow. We are from developing countries. We've seen children with kwashiorkor, marasmus, all sort of malnutrition or undernutrition, because the children have not been fed, or they have not been fed properly. So what you feed is what grows. In fact, if you feed your intellect, your knowledge level will just grow. If you feed your emotional life, that's what will grow. So what you feed is what grows. Today, from today, decide that you are going to feed your spirit, and you will grow in Jesus' name. And this is very important. This last one. It, in fact, I'm telling you, is one of the most important things in your life. Keep the right company. Did you hear that? Keep the right company. Your destiny may depend upon it. If you keep the wrong company, it can change your destiny irreversibly. If you keep the right company, it can also help you to be what God wants you to be. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that from today, you will keep the right company in Jesus' name. Amen. Did the Bible tell us so? What company to keep? Go to Psalm 1 verse 1. Or let's read for Psalm 1. Keep the right company. Decide that this year you are going to keep the right company. If you don't keep the right company, I'm telling you, you may not know. Look, we used to have a lecturer, and what he used to tell us is this. He would tell us that you don't know what you are missing. Okay, when you don't know what you are missing, I can't remember the way he put it. In other words, if you never have a knowledge of that thing, you may be missing it in your life and you wouldn't really know. In other words, you can be an eagle and you will never fly in your life. Because you don't know what it is like to fly. That is why the Bible tells us to keep company with the wise and not with the fools. If you do, in fact, in the Bible, the advice is so replete that is replete with the advice as to what company we should keep, because it can change our destiny. Samson kept the wrong company and that changed his destiny. Praise the Lord. Let's go to someone. Someone. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives. Not in the counsel of the ungodly. I keep telling you. I said not every word that sounds nice is godly. Can somebody hear that? Not every word that sounds nice, that makes sense, is godly. For example, the counsel of Ahithophel, I keep saying it was a very wise counsel, but there was no God in it. It was against the purpose of God. That's why I could not stand. So be very careful. Be very careful. He said, in other words, who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purpose. Anyone who opposes the word of God, don't keep company with that person. It can never do you good. It will never do you good. I can assure you. You will never prosper spiritually if you keep company with such a person. People who subject the word of God into ridicule and derision, and you know, instead of seeing how that can transform their lives and they make something, make a mess, you know, instead of the word, you see something else out of it. Look, honestly, you cannot go anywhere. So the company you keep is so what? Is so important to your destiny. Not stand, that is, submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. Not sit down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. People who turn the things of God into jest. And you know something that is very rife? The mistakes that people make in church is what we love talking about. The great things that are accomplished in the lives of people in the church, we don't talk about it. We'll not talk about the testimonies. We'll not talk about the deliverances. We'll not talk about the promotions. We will talk about the pastor that slapped somebody. That is what is going to preoccupy our mind. And that is how the enemy steals from us what should rightly belong to us. Praise the Lord. He said, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precept, the instruction, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. God will prosper you this year in Jesus' name. Keep the right company, please. Keep the right company. It's so important. That's why we have to be each other's friends. To study the word, to speak the word, to speak truth in love. Let's look at Psalm 119 verse 63. So we must belong to a church, attend services, conferences, and all the other things, CDs. If you don't have the Bible CD in your car, buy one. If you have nothing to listen to, I'm tired of listening to the radio with all this news. So what I do is this. When I get in my car, I listen to the radio, I hear the news. It's every 15 minutes. I put off the radio and then listen to something, either sermon, Bible reading. And when I get to work, okay, on my way back, I listen to the news again so I know what is happening. And thereafter, I listen, you know, to the word of God on my way back. So buy Bible CD. Read, let somebody read to your hearing. Praise the Lord. There are lots of them. Just pack it in and be slotting in. Some of us have 6 trackers. Just load it. And hear somebody read the Bible to your hearing. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, 63. Sorry? I'm a companion of all who fear you. And all those who do your precepts. Not all those who know your precepts. All those who do what? You will know people who do these precepts of God. I keep telling you, I said the best way to know your friend is how? Eh? If you want to know your friend, who your friend really is, how do you know your friend? The personality of your friend. How? Eh? Look at the way they deal with people who are not their friends. The day you fall out, they will do exactly the same thing to you. When your friends play tricks on someone else and you laugh and you think it's a good thing, you laugh, he will play tricks on you when the time comes. Praise the Lord. So keep the right what? Company. God will help us this year in Jesus' name. And of course, let me quickly read through the benefits because we need to move on to another topic from next week, the benefits of holiness. It stands to reason that you are the number one beneficiary if you live a life of holiness. But more importantly, your life will be pleasing to God and your final salvation ensured. Now, let me tell you something. I find out that everything or most things that God asks us to do or not to do, first of all, will give you some physical benefits. Praise the Lord. Before even the spiritual benefits. Do you agree with me? How many of us have had me to tell the story of when the wife of one of our consultants was sick in Nigeria and she needed blood? You know, in Nigeria, if you're a consultant, you can do and undo. You know? Senior registrar will carry your bag for you. You call them, they run, they come. And that was the way it was. This guy just came and rounded us up and said we should go with him to the maternity section because his wife was sick. And we got there, they said we have to donate blood. So, they took us to the lab and they said they have to do quick tests for HIV for us. Praise the Lord. They put about three or four of us in that room. See people sweating. And one of the guys, don't think it's me, one of the guys said, if not because there was security, you know, the burglary proof that was there, that he would have jumped through the window. Why? But if he has lived godly, you will not be alarmed. I'm telling you, you will not. He said, my brain just started. Every one of us, our brain started going through our lives. And you know the funniest thing is that at home, because some people, when they've been tested and they were found positive, you know how wicked people are. They will go around spreading it around and say somebody gave it to them. So what they actually do is that when they test you, they will not tell you the result. So the only way you know, for example, there was a man who was married with two wives. The younger wife was positive. They tested the man, he was positive. They called the senior wife, who had been relegated to the background. And she was negative. So we had to tell her, don't go near Alagio. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. So they would don't tell people. At least when I was there, they wouldn't tell you. So you wouldn't know. I had to go there in the evening to make sure that my blood was being given to the woman. No, I'm serious. We went there. If your blood was not given to her, I'm O positive. Then you know, that was the way it was. So, there's always a physical benefit to you, to your home, to your family, to your children, if you are obedient to the word of God. Before the spiritual benefit comes, people don't know. Go and ask that doctor that was panicking. You won't have to panic in Jesus' name. You are defended by heaven and a hedge is built around you for your protection. You will automatically qualify to inherit the promises of God. A life of holiness positions you to lead others to Christ as you will be bold before God and man. Is it not good? Otherwise, we'll be hypocrites. If we are not living holy and we're telling someone else to do so. I'm very big on the menu is that your joy will be full and abiding and you prosper in all ramifications. You can also rebuke sin and ungodliness. I tell people, I say the kind of sermon I preach. Be sure that people who have been digging my past and digging about me, I trust people. Because they will tell you what about you? Huh? So that's why a lot of people they say limit to the kind of sermon they can preach. Oh. Eh? They would rather preach Jesus loves you. It should be big on the menu anyway. They would rather preach prosperity because they know if they preach the other one. You remember the man, he said, Paul I know. Eh? Jesus I know. Who are you? They would ask you who you are. God will help us to live holy in Jesus' name. So from the above benefits of holiness, you observe that all is about you. This means that living a life of holiness is for our own good and our own good alone. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise up and pray? Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Daddy. Ah, it's the beginning of the year. Give all the glory to the Lord and say, Father, this year, there's going to be something different in my life. There's going to be something specifically different, something tangibly different in my life. I will live a life of holiness. I will live a life that is true to my calling. Father, help me. Give me grace, oh God. Give me the all-surpassing grace to live a life of holiness, oh God. A life that is true to my calling, oh God. So that I will be in a position to rebuke sin. I will be in a position to proclaim your goodness. I will be in a position to tap into the resources and the treasures of heaven. Father, help me to live in obedience to you. 2012 is a year with a difference. It's a year that I will submit myself totally to the hand of the Almighty God. It's a year that God, the potter, will remold and remake me. And I will come out shining for his glory. This year, I become a vessel unto honor, to the glory of my Creator. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we want to thank you for your word that we have heard. We are called unto holiness and not unrighteousness. My Father, my God, it is no accident that you are starting the year with us on this note, because we heard yesterday that those who will live like the remnants, who have not defiled themselves, will be the people who will own this year and receive of the blessings and the goodness of God. I pray, O God, that everyone that has heard me today, because of this life of holiness that they will live, Lord, they will be the beneficiaries of your grace this year in Jesus' name. They will accomplish the impossible in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody.
Hallelujah.
If you're excited to